What's up? This is Movies On Up. Hell breaks loose. I am seated, as always, next to one hell of a podcast co-host.
I'm about to break loose with the opinions.
That is Mr. Dave Becella. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Hell breaks loose is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, you can send your guests to us in one of the following ways. You can email us. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can tweet your guess to us at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we choose you, you will be doomed to win a Movies On Up prize package that will probably be delivered by the U.S. Postal Service while they're dropping off the rest of your Amazon crap this holiday season.
Let thief monkeys steal it. What are the thief pirates? What are those called?
They're called porch pirates.
Porch pirates, that's it.
Thief monkeys. What the fuck?
That sounds awesome. I want a thief monkey now.
Yes, like
a
little, I would like to train an army of chimpanzees.
What's Marcel or whatever the monkey from Friends was? Teach him to go steal stuff off people's porches.
Now, this is a bit of a diatribe, but imagine for a second you're looking at your Ring doorbell.
And a monkey comes.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Like, the monkey's not, like, you can yell at the monkey. He's not going to stop. But, like, I kind of would be okay.
What are you going to do? Put it up on my face? Hey, if anybody sees this monkey, tell him he took my stuff.
Yeah, there's a fucking army of them. You know what I mean? Like, how do I know? Unless they have individually numbered vests or something. Like, how do you know? But I almost kind of think, like, it'd be worth it. Just having the video of a monkey stealing something off my porch.
I'd leave stuff for him.
Taking it back. Yikes. So, yeah, thieving monkeys. Here's the thing you have to know about Dave and I. We're far too lazy to actually train a band of primates or any animals to do anything, let alone steal your stuff. So if that does happen, it wasn't us. Just somebody listened to this show and got a great idea, which is probably not the first time that that happened. Our great idea for this week, as opposed to last week, where we kind of struggled to come up with a Playmobil-themed episode. This week, Jumanji: The Next Level comes out in theaters. And we both, I think we're kind of late to the Jumanji party in 2017.
I didn't see it in theaters.
I did not either.
I saw it
on Amazon, maybe.
You know what? I think I rented it when it came out. So I think I saw it around, February or March.
And I recall, weirdly enough for this movie, Amazon for Prime members was doing screenings. And they did a couple here in Youngstown where if you were a Prime member, you could go see this movie for free in the theater. I do not recall them doing that since then, which is unfortunate. That's a pretty decent deal. And I remember saying to Sarah, I was like, hey, do you want to go see Jumanji for free? Because we can. And she was like, nah, it's not worth it. And I didn't argue with her at the time. But as I'm going to tell you in a second, that Amazon promotion did not hurt the box office numbers for Jumanji, directed by Jake Kasdan, starring Dwayne Johnson, Karen Gillan, Kevin Hart, Jack Black.
Greasy Darby.
Yes.
I like Greasy Darby.
It opened to $36.1 million on December 22nd of 2017, which was good enough for second place that weekend, ahead of Pitch Perfect 3, The Greatest Showman, and a movie that Dave mentioned last week, Ferdinand. Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi in its second week grossed $71.5 million, which was tops. Welcome to the Jungle went on to gross $404.5 million domestically. It had a bit of a back and forth with The Last Jedi over its release where they flip-flopped one and two a couple times.
And that's nuts to think about. Like, a lot of your blockbusters, when they come out, you want like a 2.5 multiplier. A movie that comes out and opens to 100 million. You want to end with at least 250 million or so. Something to open at 36 million. If that leaves the theater at 120, 125, that's a massive hit. But a 10 time, more than 10 times, that's incredible.
It's 34th on the all-time domestic list. One spot below Sam Raimi's 2002 superhero movie.
Be the first one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Be the first Spider-Man, of course. And one spot ahead of Steven Spielberg's 1993 blockbuster.
A
giant hit. Big.
Oh, big.
And it's not big. It's Jurassic Park.
Oh, Jurassic
but,
Park.
But, yeah, the
I was going to say Spielberg didn't do big.
No,
it wasn't big fucking giant because that was like 2017 or something.
It did not do that in 1993 either. But that gives you a little bit of context as to where this fits in. You know, Spider-Man, that's a tentpole comic book movie. I'm not going to say that it launched the MCU, but it launched the MCU.
That and Singer's X-Men helped launch the comic book movies into a credible genre.
A stratosphere of money that made everybody think like, oh, well, we can just dust off all this stuff again. And Jurassic Park, which is obviously a massive success. They're still making these movies. They're bringing back the cast of Jurassic Park for the next, whatever it's called, Jurassic Universe or what have you. Jumanji had a worldwide gross of $962 million, which is the highest grossing movie Sony has ever had.
That's even a more worldwide gross than US gross, which is
insane. Yeah, it's 500 some million.
Which that's wild. Like, overseas. I mean, if you want to compare that to big blockbusters like your Marvel movies, your Disney and stuff, like they make a lot of money overseas, but they're not making more overseas than they make here. Generally, when something's making more overseas, it's something that didn't do very well here. Something like a Pacific Rim or something that where you're hoping it makes enough to warrant a sequel because you're banking on overseas money. For it to do, I don't think people realize, like, the box office numbers for Jumanji to come out of, I mean, yeah, it had star power in it, but, like, did we need another Jumanji? Jake Kasdan doesn't really have a good track record. This is a lightning in a bottle movie. Like, this is something you cannot duplicate if you tried. For a movie to open at $36 million and go on to make $400 million, to make more than that overseas, everything has to fall into place for that. That has to have a lot of things go right. There's no formula to do that.
In 2017, there were four movies that went over $1 billion worldwide. The Last Jedi, that's a Star Wars movie, big Disney release, we get it. Beauty and the Beast, also big Disney release, remake. Fate of the Furious, it's a franchise movie. Despicable Me 3, another franchise movie. Jumanji domestically made more than both Despicable Me and Fate of the Furious. And it just missed by $40 million, missed out being a billion-dollar worldwide movie. Without the support of an active franchise, this is technically the third Jumanji movie. There's the one that we know about. There's Zathura that we tend to forget.
Which, I never understood how it tied into Jumanji. I knew it was supposed to. It was supposed to be from the world of Jumanji or something. Yeah. That's the John Favreau.
The JCU.
John Favreau making a big space movie, a big action movie. That's one of his first bigger, like, movies, I believe. Like, his first, like, studio.
Sounds about
go
right.
Go make a blockbuster movie.
We talked about multipliers, and $400 million is about a four-time multiplier from what the Robin Williams 1995 Jumanji made. And in the mid-90s, $100 million was pretty average for a Robin Williams movie. I mean, he certainly had some bigger ones, Aladdin, Mrs. Doubtfire. Those made over $200 million. But $100 million, okay, that's about average for where he was at. But then, you know, you look at somebody who's different career, but just as big of a movie star as Robin Williams was at that time, Dwayne Johnson at this time. This is by far and away his most successful movie. And it's not even really close. The top five highest grossing domestic Dwayne Johnson movies. The Fate of the Furious is number five, $226 million. Fast and Furious 6, $238. Moana, $248. Furious 7, the only one that topped 300, $353 million. And then you get to Jumanji, which made $50 million more.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have three established franchise movies and a Disney animation
and a Disney movie.
Movie.
Yeah, that was it.
And then this sequel / reboot to a movie from 1995 that people were indifferent to. Nothing against Jumanji. It's not this heralded classic. People remember it. But I don't think people are like, oh, I'm so excited to go back to Jumanji world. It was just such a random one-off Robin Williams movie based on a board game.
Even at the time, $100 million, it's good. I mean, Jumanji was the seventh highest grossing movie from 1995. Toy Story was one, Batman Forever 2, Apollo 13, Pocahontas, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, GoldenEye. So you've got Batman in there. You've got a Disney movie. Ace Ventura, which was at that point becoming a franchise, James Bond making his return after Timothy Dalton nearly killed that franchise, and then Jumanji. So it was successful. Casper also made $100 million that year, but it wasn't this giant leaps and bounds out of nowhere success. So, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how we got there. If you look at the cast, in 2017, we just had a movie the year before, Central Intelligence, the Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart
flick. Which I really liked.
Yeah, it's good.
It was good.
That movie made $127 million.
Not really a bomb, but hard to consider like a massive hit. Like, it was successful, but...
That's the thing. You have...
In that area, that gray area between bomb and hit.
Like, and essentially half the cast. I wouldn't say at this point it's a proven track record of Johnson Hart making a series
of
movies.
They're not Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor.
Right. That's kind of what I was like, you know, it's not Farley and Spade or Laurel and Hardy, whatever you want to say.
Corey and Corey.
Yes, certainly not. They only had one team up before and it made a quarter of what this made. So that wasn't really it. And you look at Kasdan as a director, maybe
Sex Tape, Bad Teacher.
Walk Hard might be the one he, I don't even know if he was known for that as much as John C. Reilly was known
for. I mean,
I
think people think of that as like an Apatow movie.
Yeah.
Like an Apatow produced movie, yeah. Not a Jake Kasdan directed movie.
Right. I mean, he did Orange County, which we like, and at least I like an awful lot. There certainly is some name recognition, but those names, with the exception of Karen Gillan, who was in Avengers movies, that were making that much money, but not because of her. Dwayne Johnson movies weren't making that much because of him. Kevin Hart movies weren't
Jack
making
Black
that much.
Jack Black hadn't been headlining movies in a while. His days as a leading man, you know, had kind of come and gone.
Yeah, for the most part. You look at the cast, you look at the director, and cast has got recognizable, bankable movie stars, but not bankable to $400 million.
Not guaranteed.
No. And there's nothing from the director that makes you think, oh, well, this guy's just a hell of a commercial director. Like, we're going to do fine here. Sony's not thinking, let me put Jake Kasdan on this, and it's going to be our highest grossing movie ever. And I want to say it was like the fourth most profitable in terms of, you know, what the spend to the return was. But then I started looking at the writers. Specifically, there was a couple writing teams on this, but Chris McKenna and Eric Summers, that year, they were awfully busy. They had written the Spider-Man Homecoming and Lego Batman movie, so they had a hell of a 2017. They go on to write Ant-Man and the Wasp, as well as this year's Far From Home. I think they are on the next Spider-Man sequel as well. So, I mean, those guys, again, at the time, maybe we didn't know it, but they've got a penchant for writing scripts that make a ton of money. Now, they've got characters that are super bankable, Spider-Man, even Batman, a Lego version, and Ant-Man, but at least they've got a comic pedigree to bring to that.
But, like, those are all good movies,
yes,
too. Like, those aren't just gimmicks. And I feel like they did a good job of, you know, I like Central Intelligence. It was Kevin Hart being Kevin Hart, and it was The Rock being The Rock. It wasn't really anything special about it. Jumanji, what sets it apart is it is a movie star movie. It is banking on The Rock and Kevin Hart and Jack Black and to an extent Karen Gillan. It's banking on you wanting to see them, but it's letting them do something that you're not used to seeing. You know, it's not The Rock as a one-legged security consultant in a Die Hard ripoff. Like, it's not something you've seen The Rock do a million times before. It's a lot of fun. It put these funny actors in position to just let loose. There's no expectations. They did not go into this movie expecting to make $400 million. If this would have made Central Intelligence money, it probably would have been okay. I don't know the budget, but I think if it had made $130 to $150, which you put a Rock Kevin Hart movie out around Christmas, there's a good chance that happens. But you let them just get loose and just go nuts, and then you're up in it in the sequel. People like seeing these guys on screen, and to see them do something different, I think really resonated with people.
The budget was $90 million. So even just with The Rock, or maybe even just Kevin Hart, you're probably going to make $90 million right there. I think that's kind of it. This movie was written by guys that are doing and continue to do a great job of writing commercial scripts that lots of people can enjoy. Your kids can enjoy some of the jokes, and the adults in the audience can as well. But I think what they really succeeded in here was the premise. you've got Jack Black, you've got Kevin Hart
as Bethany.
Right.
Like, that's who Jack Black is credited as, Bethany.
We're going to come to that because you're allowing these guys. The Rock is a video game character. Jack Black is over the top like a cartoon character, a video game character. And Kevin Hart has that ability too. So you let these guys do that because they're playing video game characters. And then you put the body switch in there. You're pegging it. It's going up to 11. So you're allowing these guys to just be completely unhinged. And they were. And because of the premise, it never feels like they're overacting or they're overdoing it.
It doesn't feel like stunt. Like, right. It doesn't feel like you didn't cast Jack Black as a teenage girl for stunt casting. Like, it makes sense. It works within the plot. It was clever. And then in the second one, you got Danny Glover jumping in, and Danny DeVito as the Rock and Kevin Hart. Because as good as it was, like, do we need a second movie of Jack Black being a teenage girl? Like, do we need a second?
$400 million domestically says yes.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't know if it resonates enough if you do the same thing. They added Awkwafina. Mm. They're bringing back Nick Jonas in probably a bigger role this time. They added DeVito and Glover. And they're switching up the bodies. And I just feel like there's going to be enough changes that it'll be interesting. I feel like they're not trying to get you there for the same movie, which so often happens with these kind of blockbusters.
It's hard to say. I mean, the one thing that I'll note about the second movie is it's not written by McKenna and Summers. It is this time written and directed by Jake Kasdan, which I don't want to say it's a strike against the movie because I like some of Jake Kasdan's stuff. But I think so much of what made the first one good was the writing. They wrote a really fun movie, and Kasdan did a great job of putting in some big action rock set pieces that you would expect in like a San Andreas or something like that. To me, this movie, it's got movie stars, it's got action, it's got humor. This is a tentpole movie. This is a middle of the summer with any other name other than Jumanji. It is a blockbuster that we would see in drive-in season. But they put it out a week after the last Star Wars movie.
Well, because the last one came out a week after the previous one.
No, the new one comes out a week before.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
one came out a week after Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that it's in a season where it was going to get buried, but you have another quote-unquote family movie that is going to make a ton of money, and it did make a ton of money.
This movie released at that point, I think, is a safe $150 million movie. I think that's the floor you're looking at, which that's profitable.
Would that have been the floor, you think?
I think so. I think with Hart and The Rock.
So what did you, I mean, obviously it made $400. Like, what would you have thought the ceiling for something like this would have been?
$200 to $250, probably. I mean, and at that time, if we go back, I mean,
$90 million, that'd been pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah. But I feel like it was a safe at least $125 to $150. Like, I think that was.
I mean, The Rock has only ever had two movies, this one included, make $250 million at the box office. Moana came close, $248. But, I mean, I wouldn't have thought this was going to.
No, I wouldn't have. No. I would have thought it would have topped around 150, 170.
Yeah, so yeah. When you said 150 is the floor, I was like, I don't know.
I think from a safe perspective, I think that's the floor is a projection. The worst we could do is if this movie makes like 150 with the expectation that like maybe that's 125 or 130, which is still profitable. But I think it was a safe bet to make in that 130 to 150 range. I never would have guessed it for this.
No, I mean,
especially after a $36 million opening.
Right.
Like that the last it had Titanic staying power pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and word of mouth buzz like, "Hey, did you see the Jumanji? I know what this is going to sound like, but did you see Jumanji? It's actually really good." And it's $400 million, but then you look at like people like us that are movie people. We didn't see it till the video market, whether it was, you know, renting it or on demand or whatever. I am really fascinated to see what this second one does. Now, it gets a weak jump start on Star Wars this time around. we mentioned the writers are different. I don't know how much that's going to matter to like an opening day audience or how many people are even going to know that going in. I don't think that you can expect another $400 million.
Oh, no.
But where do you think this one ends up?
I think it opens bigger. Like
than 36? I think that's...
I think you're getting a bigger opening. I think you're looking at maybe a 50 or 60 opening. But I don't see the staying power. I think this one is a 2 to 250. I think that's about the best it can do is in that 2 to 250 range, which still, that's quality. I mean, that's...
Again, not to beat the point to death, but The Rock has only ever had two movies that have made over $250 million. So I'm kind of thinking that that's it too. And if it makes $250 million... How do we not get a Jumanji 3?
You would.
Yeah.
Just to go on the record again, I hate the box office
mojo. We just lost our sponsorship deal with them.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you have a proven formula. If this does do 2 to 250, you know, it's half of what the other one did, but I think the formula is there that you can scale back the budget and still make a third one that's highly profitable. I think you can make these movies at a decent budget without throwing, you know, $150 million budget at it. But I think the formula's there. So I don't think it's 400. Like I said, there's no formula for what the first one did.
No.
When that happens, that you will appreciate it and you thank the movie gods. That you can't force that.
There's no way, you know, if we'd have been doing, and we used to. We used to do over-unders on a lot of movies.
When we were doing weekly.
Speculative. What was going to happen. It's impossible to go back now, but I cannot imagine a world in which if you would have set the over-under for Jumanji at $300 million that we wouldn't have laughed at you and taken the under.
Yeah, there's no way I would have even guessed that high. I probably would have said 150 to 200 in that if I had to guess. I mean, it's hard to go back and...
Right, especially knowing what this ended up doing. It's impossible to go back. I can just remember... The trailer looks cute or whatever, and looking at what Central Intelligence did, 127, yeah, I could see another Rock Kevin Hart movie making between 130 and 150. Like, yeah, that sounds okay, because you're adding in Jack Black, it's a family thing, Christmas, yeah, okay, that all makes sense. I mean, I don't know how much Frozen 2 takes a bite out of this with it still being around, Star Wars on the horizon. This will be fascinating. This is one of those movies that I like the movie. I would watch it again.
But here's the thing. I enjoyed the first Jumanji. Yeah. Just like you did, or the second, the third.
The third.
I enjoyed this Jumanji movie. Yes. As did you. Are you going to go see it opening weekend?
Probably not opening weekend, no.
Are you gonna make it a point that by the beginning of the year, you are going to see the Jumanji sequel in the theaters?
Here's what I'll say. Well... You and I, what are we investing to go see it in the theater? You know what I mean? Flex time. That Regal Unlimited. Yeah. It's just that. So,
but I look at it as like, I like the first one.
Yeah.
I don't imagine myself. I mean, if I find time to do a double or triple feature, like maybe I can't see myself getting out just to see Jumanji.
Maybe not, but
If I'm going to see something that I really want to see and this is on right after and I have the day to myself, like, okay, but...
For free, when this movie came out, like I said at the top of the show, I said, hey, Sarah, do you want to go see Jumanji? Her answer was no. If Amazon was doing a screening, I mean, I'm going to see the movie for free regardless. Free, quote unquote.
$18 a month.
$18 a month. But that's just for me. I still have to pay for Sarah, and we went to see Knives Out on Monday, and that was still $10.50. But if we can both see this for free, there was a 0% chance we'd see the first one. This one, there's a much higher percentage.
Yeah.
We might go see it, or maybe I'll see it in the discount theater or something. But I'm certainly going to end up watching this
movie. I'll watch
movie.
It eventually. Yeah. Right. I can't promise it'll be in the theater, but when it hits, I'll rent it at least. Yeah.
At the very least, because I liked the first one. But even as much as I like the first one, what am I going to talk about for a half an hour about Jumanji? The plot's enjoyable. It's actors you like doing things that you like. Yeah. But this movie was a $400 million movie. I mean, I listed the billion-dollar movies that year, and they're all giant franchises, giant things that you know.
Stuff that you expected to make that
money. Yeah, and then there's this movie from this director that was $40 million short worldwide of joining that club, and it's just insane to me. There are some movies that we talk about where I do get tripped up on box office. People loved this movie. I can't put my finger exactly why. It's just enjoyable people doing enjoyable things, but I mean, to me, that's the story of it. Regardless of what happens with the second movie, the first movie made $400 million. Yeah, it's a big fucking deal.
Like, I can't see this one getting three. I just don't. And I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I wouldn't have guessed that one. But I just think this is one of those where that first one was such a lightning in a bottle scenario that I just don't see it happen. But I think it could still be profitable. I think it could still continue the franchise and make them want to do another one.
Next week, we're going to hope to catch lightning in a bottle when we do our Nicole Kidman episode. Bombshell comes out that week.
Actually, Bombshell got bumped up to this week.
Oh, shit.
But
didn't notice that.
I still want to do a Nicole Kidman episode. So
she deserves it.
Yeah. So I'm excited to do that. We'll do our Nicole Kidman episode. Bombshell looks awesome. If you haven't seen The Loudest Voice on Showtime yet, Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, Margot Robbie,
John Lithgow. Yeah, so next week we're going to do an actor-specific list on Nicole Kidman. We've already done Charlize Theron. I don't think there's enough Margot Robbie yet, and it would be disingenuous to do a John Lithgow
one. We've done a John Lithgow episode. Okay,
that wouldn't surprise me either.
We've done a John Lithgow episode.
So congratulations, Nicole Kidman. You're the only one left that we... How about that?
Well, it was after the Destroyer episode that I realized, like, man, I really want to do a Nicole Kidman episode. So the second I got an opportunity to, it's like, okay, we're doing it.
I just think it's kind of interesting that we've done damn near everybody else in that movie except for Nicole Kidman. But we will right that wrong next week. And to find out what our five favorite Nicole Kidman movies are, spoiler alert, one of them Dave has already mentioned, and it's really high.
We just did an episode on it, so watch Destroyer if you haven't yet.
And then come back and check us out next week. But until then,
keep it up.